Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, wish Yahshua a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed, this that I got realness, I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks, they call the tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth from the prophecy.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my fucking life.
This
is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, America. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, your DNA an abomination. This how I this when you in the matrix, as your bullets reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar. Sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors. Peaches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool. Godfather calls, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on the Monday. Stretches in the van, I'm watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never owned. I don't camera stand, I don't compromise. I just penetrate, sex, money, murder. These are the breaks, these are the times. Level number 9, look up in the sky. Tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the light of skate. Tell me when destruction gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fake, gonna be a fake. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, IDA.
All right, guys, royalty, royalty, royalty. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. This is Motivational Classroom, guys, and I am excited about this podcast because it's a podcast that, you know, I pretty much have stressed over the years. I have revamped it in many different ways, although the thing about that I've noted about revamping a particular topic is that the energy space in which the one that's having the conversations, you know what I mean, is very key to, you know, be like in an elevated energy space when you have different conversations. So I'm proud to say, right, that having this conversation again, I am definitely in another, so I'm not the same person anymore, right? So when I visit this weekend, right, this entire weekend, guys, because today it's this podcast just comes from my heart because it's communication is huge with me, right? And I do know, and there's in many different areas where we all need work when it comes to effective communication. You know what I mean? So when it comes to effective communication, there are so many avenues. There are so many aspects, you know what I mean, of effective communication. And I think the huge and biggest part is having the hard conversations that we do not like to have, myself included, in many different areas. You know what I mean? So this podcast is about us because the reason and why I wanted to bring this back to the table, because with everything that has been going on in the world, I do a lot of observing now. You know, I don't do too much talking, unless it's on the platform. But, you know, I've learned to be more observant, right? So I'm observing the world and how people react and, you know, how it's growing, how it's not growing, how we're stagnant. And the conversation of communication always comes up. You know, what are the rifts? So this podcast is entitled Generational Rifts. What the fuck did I entitle it? But the point is generational rifts, okay? So what are the generational rifts between generational communication? I'm reading that from my notes, but I titled it Effective Communication Among the Generations. That's what I titled it. But it came from a conversation that I read about parent and child communication, you know, how the parents communicating with their children. And what I love is that many parents in today's time, in today's age, are listening to their kids. You know, they make it – not to say there hasn't been going on, but, you know, kind of publicly, worldwide, you know, it's not whooping their children and really just, you know, taking their children into account, you know, that, okay, I'm going to listen to you, baby. Like, okay, your voice matters. You do matter. And instilling that in them at an early age is very important. I come from a generation, I'm sure many of us have, because it has been dated from generational, you know what I mean, as far as the curse of staying in a child's place. Now, it was taught our grandparents, our parents' parents, parents' parents, you know what I mean, for a long time, that whole generational wealth of, you know, stay in a child's place, you know, was kind of passed down. So it's like, you know, when do we as a collective take accountability and have the hard conversation, right? So I like to call her auntie, but Yana Vincent is very profound in my personal healing. And wonderful books, guys. Please go on Amazon, look for Yana Vincent books. I love the audio books. I like to just, like, when I'm going to sleep at night, I like to play it. You know what I mean? So amazing healing, especially for women. Oh, my God. If you're a woman and you do not know what direction, Yana is definitely a great aspect. Wait a minute, guys. Yana is definitely a great person, you know, that you can definitely listen to her lectures on YouTube, all of that. So I encourage anybody to go and listen to Yana Auntie's books and stuff. That she has a lot of amazing things, guys. So this season, right, as we are in fall, this season I wanted to go more into my old method of hosting, you know, and that's pretty much my own creative aspect, writing the shows out and, you know, kind of less, there's still going to be clips, but less clips, but I wanted to go back to my old method that pretty much attracted people to Enhancing Awareness Radio. Opening the phone lines, all of that stuff. So I want to kind of shift gears and get back into my creative mode now that I have you know, a little time on my hands, more so, but I do have other projects going on that I'm, you know, and I'm less in the spotlight and more, you know, in the studies. But I hope you guys enjoyed this next season coming up, you know, with me inviting people on, hopefully, and, you know, just kind of taking it back to the basics as far as the Hanson Awareness Radio's birth, okay? So I'm going to start off with this clip from Iyanla Van Zandt. She talks about having a hard conversation. There is our root. So let's see what Auntie has to say.
Find the pieces of your broken heart. Want to make a change, but don't know where to start. Let's go on a journey, try something new. Let's go on the road to finding you. The art part, we're the art. Talking relationships, getting down to the thick of it. The art part, we're the art.
Welcome to the R Spot, the relationship zone, the place we come to examine and explore the issues, challenges, benefits, and rewards of relationships, all kinds of relationships, because relationships make our world and our lives better places. That's why we want to be better in them and for them. Now, our topic this week is one of those necessary topics, one we do not like, but one that we can all become better with, and it's about hard conversations. Now, just what is a hard conversation? A hard conversation is one you might call confrontational, one where you are questioning or challenging someone, or one where you are asking for or presenting a sensitive or difficult topic. We may think it's confrontational, but I call it carefrontational, because I care about you and I want our relationship to be better. I want us to have this conversation to clear things up or get accurate information or to establish a boundary or make a specific request. Any number of things that we are afraid or resistant to saying. In light of that, think of a hard conversation as being one that's just as hard for you to speak as it is for the other person to hear. A hard conversation is one that challenges behavior or challenges authority or challenges something that you have been tolerating, accommodating, and accepting for a long period of time, and now you realize this isn't working for me. A hard conversation is one that addresses something that is not working. And that's why you're having the conversation. A hard conversation is also one that you know either from experience or history or just your own intuition. The other person does not want to hear what you have to say or engage you in the conversation because it challenges them. It challenges their authority or their behavior or their long-held habits. And chances are, when you begin the conversation, you will get resistance, rebellion, and pushback. These are the conversations. These hard conversations are the ones that you know or suspect will hurt or upset someone, and you will be forced to deal with the consequences. Now remember, this is a conversation. This is not you telling somebody something or you forcing your opinions on someone. No, that is not what this is about. It's a conversation, a two-way exchange that requires talking and listening. It's an exchange of ideas, of thoughts, of feelings that are spoken by word. It is not a text or an email, or lipstick writings on the bathroom mirror. In a hard conversation, you must be willing to speak and to hear. Now, tension of a hard conversation will often determine the outcome. But you will have to talk about everything, everything that's involved in the topic. Now, hard conversations come in a variety of shapes and sizes and cover a variety of topics. But since we're talking about relationships, let's look at two areas that can be very hard to talk about. I don't want to be in this relationship at, or something you did or did not do, something you said or did not say has caused me hurt, harm, or upset. The first, I don't want to be in this relationship. That is a really tough one, or shall I say a rough one. But the rules of hard conversations still apply here. So let me give you the rules for having a hard conversation. Rule number one, ask the person if they're willing to have the conversation. Now, it can be as simple as, I need to talk to you about something. Is this a good time? Or, I want to talk to you about something. Are you open to having a conversation? And if the person says no, you can ask, when will be a good time for you? Or you can say, can we set some time aside to talk later or tomorrow? You know, nothing is more difficult than having a hard conversation with someone who does not want to talk. So avoid making the difficult even more difficult by asking. And if it's not a life or death situation, wait until they're ready and be nice while you're waiting. If nothing comes back from the person, let's say in 24, 48 hours, remind them. Remember, we need to talk about something, and I want to know when you'll have some time for us to do that. Rule number two, have a clear intention. Know what it is that you want to communicate and communicate it clearly. Don't beat around the bush. Don't tell stories. Don't make excuses, and do not blame or find. Say what you need to say and then break it down into bite-sized pieces if necessary. You know, the time has come for me to leave this relationship. That's clear. Or I need to talk to you about your drinking or your foot odor or leaving the toilet seat up, whatever it is. State it clearly. State it up front. Do not over-explain and do not anticipate what the other person will say or do. If they have a response, listen and then state your intention again. It's not my intention to hurt you or upset you. And because I care about you or I care about our relationship, I really do love you. I want you to know, blah, 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 whatever it is. Now, if you're leaving your relationship, there will undoubtedly be a reaction, some questions, and possibly a breakdown. So be prepared to stand your ground. If you're making a request or conveying some difficult information or establishing a boundary, then you can offer an explanation. But please keep it simple. Speak in 20 words or less in each sentence. If you are clear and committed, this won't be a problem. And be mindful not to blame or over-explain. Clear, clean, complete. That is the ticket when you're having a hard conversation. Say it clearly, make it clean, and complete it so that when you leave the conversation, you and the other person knows what to expect. Rule number three, when you're having a hard conversation, say it in the same way you would want to hear it. It's important to be compassionate. Look the person in the eye. Maybe touch or hold their hand. Say what you need to say, and if it's really a hard conversation, stay out of the way of throwable objects. In other words, be prepared for an adverse reaction. And if you get one, if you get an adverse reaction from a hard conversation, back away, back down. You can come back to the conversation at a later time. At all costs, do not meet upset with upset. Do not meet hurt with hurt. If you back down, I promise you, the person will come back for more information after they cool off and really get clear about what you're saying. Rule number four, Make your requests or decisions clear and specific. If you are asking something of the other person, be clear. I'm asking you to please go to the podiatrist and have your feet checked out because they really do have an odor. Or I'm asking you to please stop beating the dog. Or if it is a decision, let them know what it is and whether or not there's any room for negotiation. For example, I'll be leaving the house by Friday, and I'm ready to file for a divorce. Or I'm leaving tonight, and I would like to stay in touch with you by phone, but I need you to let me know if that's okay. Or whatever decision you've made for yourself, it must be communicated clearly, and you must be willing to listen to the person's response, whether or not you like it, and whatever it may be. So again, when it comes to a hard conversation, something difficult to communicate, or a hard request, or information that you're providing that may hurt or upset the person, ask the person if they're willing to have the conversation. Have a clear intention and speak with compassion. Make your request or your decision known. Make it clear. Make it specific. Now, I know this is a very intellectual approach that may not cover all the intricacies involved in saying difficult things, but if you time it right, if you have and hold a clear intention, if you create the right environment, you can tell almost anybody anything, and they'll be able to hear it and respond, even if it's difficult or hard. So when it comes to a hard conversation, you must also be genuine, authentic, and a good listener. Now, you will be tempted to get caught up in how the person reacts, but if your intention is clear, I can't say that enough, you will overcome that temptation. As you probably know, I once had a very hard conversation in a very public way with Miss Oprah the Winfrey herself. After 11 years of separation amidst many rumors and speculations, I walked onto the stage of the Oprah Winfrey Show, and I said, I ask for your forgiveness, because I knew she was willing to talk because she invited me to the show. And my intention was to share with her what I had learned about myself and my behavior that had contributed to the breakdown in the first place. I didn't make up what she would say. I didn't assume that she was thinking this or that, and I didn't want anything from her. I had absolutely no idea how she would respond when she challenged my perspective, when she asked me some hard questions. I held my ground. What I had done was inappropriate because I didn't understand certain things and I didn't have certain information that she thought I did have. And what I had done was not malicious, nor did I have an ill intent. So it didn't matter what her perspective was. I had to be clear about my perspective. What I had done was a function of my own unworthiness that I was experiencing at the time. And even though it looked like and sounded like something else, that is what it was. After a 2.5-hour, very hard and very public conversation, she heard me. She accepted what I had to offer. And the rest is history. Now, granted, it took us 11 years to get there, but we got there. Hard conversations are not easy, but they are possible. You must first be clear within yourself, because if you're not clear, the best thing for you to do is to keep your mouth shut. You must be willing and ready to accept responsibility for whatever is going on. Your share of the responsibility, even when you think it's all about the other person, you accepted, tolerated, and accommodated it. And now you've made a new choice, a different choice that you want to communicate. So take responsibility. I once told someone in a hard conversation, please forgive me, for allowing you to believe that it's okay for you to speak to me in that manner. I was wrong. It is not okay. It will never be okay. And I wanted you to know that so we could move forward in a different way. If we choose, and I was willing to let the person go, but you know what? They were shocked that I said that. Not only did they apologize, but we are still friends until this very day. So if you've been putting off a hard conversation, get clear, be compassionate, set your intention, and go for it. And please, don't be thrown off center by how the person responds. In fact, never judge your clarity on how somebody responds. Say what you need to say and mean it. That is the real hard part. Hard conversation. You can do it. I hope this helps. And now for our question of the day. Iyanla, would you say that a relationship can survive physical abuse? Well, beloved, I would never say never, but my question would be, why would you want to wait and see? If you are in an experience where there is physical abuse, that is not a healthy or loving relationship. In fact, it's not a relationship. It's an entanglement where your issues are entangled with the other person's issues and the two of you are duking it out. And chances are somebody's taking a beat down. I stayed in a physically and verbally abusive relationship for 9 years, and it never got better. I stayed because I thought that's what I deserved. I stayed because I lied to myself and allowed myself to believe that I couldn't leave. I stayed because I was too ashamed and embarrassed to face and admit that I was in an abusive entanglement. I stayed until the day I realized at 3 a.m. this is not going to change and my life is in danger. And even then, I didn't leave for me. I left for my children. But any reason is better than no reason if it causes you to take action. A relationship is a connection, a physical, emotional, and spiritual bond, the way in which two or more people relate to one another. Now, when there's physical, verbal, or emotional abuse, the way of relating is violent and destructive for both parties. Why would you want to stay in that experience? Can a relationship survive physical abuse? I would offer that once the abuse begins, it is no longer a relationship, and I would encourage you to find out what it is for you. Is it familiar? Is it a form of punishment? Is it a habit? Is it an excuse? Is it a reason or a rationale that you are using to avoid something you fear more than being beaten? Now, if you can answer those questions, you'll know what to do. But in the meantime, beloved, please be safe and stay safe. Now, here is a hallelujah truth for today. Once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through, how you managed to survive. You won't even be sure whether or not the storm is really over. But when you come out of a storm, a real storm that has ripped up some parts of your life, you won't be the same person who walked into the storm. And, beloved, that's what the storm is all about, changing you. Now, to all of the newcomers to the R-Spot, welcome. You want to be sure to subscribe to the Iyanla Van Zandt YouTube channel so that you will get a notice each time a new episode is posted. I also invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I've learned so much about those things. We have some really wonderful premiums coming out soon, and I want you to make sure that you have everything we have to offer. So sign up for my mailing list at www.iyanla.com. I hope you've enjoyed this R-Spot, and I'll see you next time.
Something in the pieces of your broken heart. Something to make a change, don't know.
I love that.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that to open the podcast, guys. So definitely an important piece of communication is that of having the hard conversations, right? So, all right. How many of you guys, you know, need to have a hard conversation right now? Okay, raise your hands. Me. There are few and many hard conversations that we have, but one thing I've noted is that a lot of times we don't feel safe, or a lot of times we don't feel the other party is going to truly listen. You know, we have intimidation. You should join me tomorrow because I am talking, I'm doing a very heartfelt podcast tomorrow on Spiritual Soul Sunday, and that is when it comes to the generational rift, when it comes to the elders, you know, this is mainly as far as our relationships today, as far as communication at a root, but really geared toward the rift between the elder community and generations and the younger community and generations, because this is also a conversation. The whole root of communication is a conversations that needs to be had on a global scale, is what I stated yesterday to somebody. And we're going to have it, and we are having it. I love seeing people starting to open up and have these conversations with one another, you know, just getting it started, all right? So gratitude for that. All right, guys. So there are a few aspects when it comes to communication, right? So we have some basic aspects of effective listening. Effective listening. What is effective listening, right? Effective listening is also known as active listening. Describes when we concentrate on listening to what someone else has to say. Whereas, it goes on to say, effective listening requires conscious effort. And when we do listen effectively, we are listening to understand and not just to hear what someone has to say. You know, I was having a conversation with a family member of mine years ago, and, you know, she would say, I hear you. You know what I mean? I hear you. But really, are you listening? When are we really effectively listening to one another? Like putting our differences aside, or, you know, putting, you know how you just listen to somebody, like you can hear them, but you can be looking straight through them, thinking about what you're going to have for dinner. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like when, you know, I just think that we need to take notes on our interactions just throughout the day, you know, even if you work, you know, with your clients, my sessions, my readings, you know, one thing I had to do was active listening because I had to listen to what, you know, these deep-rooted issues that people were having in their lives and help them to come to some type of solution, right? So if I didn't have active listening, you know what I mean? So what I'm saying, like when it comes to customer service, you know, but any type of relationship, you know, are we listening effectively? Are we actively listening? You know what I mean? So that's just something to note. Now, it goes on to say active listening is when you are fully aware and concentrate on what is being said rather than passively hearing what the speaker is trying to convey. The goal of active listening is to inquire information, listen to understand people and situations before responding to it. So, you know, rather than listening to respond, how often do we do that? We already have our mind made up, you know what I mean, on what our response is going to be. So we allow the person to speak, you know, okay, yeah, I hear you, but. You know what I mean? Remember, everything before the but is bullshit, right? I hear you, but that's not, you know, your voice doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Or not just in outright in that way, but really, guys, these are like basic skills basic little classes that we can take on YouTube, you know, if we want to be better as far as communicating in our relationships. You know what I mean? Something else Auntie pointed out was, I don't know if she's comfortable with me calling her that, but something else Iyanla Van Zandt pointed out was the email. So that's something, you know, what are the barriers, okay? So what are the communication barriers between the generations, you know? And some of the barriers were negative perceptions of one another, negative stereotypes. And what Iyanla Van Zandt pointed out was the email, text message, emoji, you know. And I know the older generations would be furious sometimes. And even some of the, even us at times, we were like, okay, I really didn't understand what that text message conveyed, or I don't really, okay, why am I feeling this type of energy coming from that emoji? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many dark areas there that we really do not know how to communicate. I know my mom, she loves to pick up the, you know, my mom, she, you know, she like, you know, call me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and she got better with the text messages and stuff like that. But my point is the elder generations, they, you know, call them. You know what I'm saying? Let some of the clients, you know, they're like, you know, pick up the phone and talk to me. You know, don't just shoot me no emails talking about, blah, blah, blah. You know, I want to feel you. I want to hear you. You know what I mean? And a lot of, and even though I've gotten accustomed, or we've gotten accustomed, you know, as the middle generation or whatever, I don't know the labels, y'all, right offhand. Gen X and all this, millennial and all that. Okay? A rainbow star seed. Area, how about that? Okay, so being of that, you know, it can go both ways. I can like either way, but I will agree that the email and text message emoji stuff, you know, is kind of hard to convey effective communication, right? So, negative perceptions of one another. Let's see here. Now that. So the biggest barrier to cross generational communication is negative perceptions of each other. We put labels and stereotypes on each generation. Just because a person is a millennial does not mean that they are the entitled attitude. Remember, the baby boomers thought Gen X was too entitled. So, I mean, there goes the microwave generation entitlement. Generational gaps also lead to misunderstanding between generations. Excuse me. For example, millennials tend to use their cell phones a lot, especially for text messaging. This behavior can seem rude and dismissive to baby boomers, who prefer talking over text. And so I guess the elder generation would be the baby boomers, and they like to put, you know, but we, I think my generation is under the baby boomer. I don't know what category that is, but I like both, you know what I mean, personally. But I, you know, again, I do agree that it can be, you know, misconveyed, okay? So, oh, wow. I think that I'm not going to be long, too, guys, because these podcasts are not going to be long going forward. Fingers crossed. But going out and just kind of open this door on a global scale to, you know, to revisit communication, the topic of communication on your area. You know, just examine in examining in what aspects could you be better? In what aspects could we be better as a collective in having better conversations with one another, you know, instead of sweeping things under the rug and not truly addressing why we feel the way I feel? Now, I would say I feel that some conversations, maybe that's just a hard conversation, but I feel sometimes that some conversations just don't need to be had, you know. It's just like, it's a done deal. It's, you know, like, let's just go, you know what I mean, like, why talk, you know, and open up shit, you know, so it can be tricky, you know, but how often do we examine even those type of things, You know what I mean? We'd rather be done than have a conversation, right? So here's something also that I had pointed out and I saw. And there seems to be a split or a shift in consciousness, right? And it kind of – and I've done shows on it, guys. I think it was Ascension Systems, The Shift. I think that's what I titled it. But I had pulled a clip, and it was, you know, talking about what's going on, a 3D, 5D split, right? But this talks about ascension of consciousness, like where is your conscious level at in this time and space now? Where are you at mentally? Have you examined that? When is the last time you've done a self-evaluation on yourself? And when was the last time you told the truth to yourself, you know? So ascension of consciousness, there we go. 3D is ego association, service to self, duality, polarization, labels, separatism, okay, control, rules, status, materialism, hardworking, linear thinking, fear-based programs, cause and effect, victim mentality, dense, slow, heavy thinking. All right? So that's like a 3D consciousness from the example. Now, 4D consciousness, the middle, mixing state gateway, conscious being, expanding consciousness, willingness to grow, challenging old belief systems, questioning yourself, you know, like, wait, is this working for me? Comparison, oh, my God. duality skills, seeking answers. So I feel that not to judge these levels of consciousness and where one may be at, but to understand and understand that there are levels that we all have to take, okay? So seeking answers, understanding structures, awareness of connection, more compassion, aligning with purpose, remembering synchronicity, flexible reality, faster manifestation, one is more concentrated. Okay. So 5D, unity consciousness. All right. Aligning with the divine, heart-centered, servicing to others, purpose-based, connectedness, high frequency, authenticity, at low state, abundance, source information, unconditional sharing. All right. Guided support. Supportive, co-creator, effortless. Hold on. Light, ease, universal knowledge, and that's all 5D. So just questioning, you know, where you may be at as far as your level of consciousness. Now, with all of that being said, I think for me, the very most important aspect when it comes to communication is what is described as compassionate listening. Y'all know I love Oprah and Iyanla, and these are old clips, but I used to listen to her a lot. But her, and I cannot pronounce this guy's name, but he's like an old Buddhist monk, and I hope she mentions his name, but you guys know my all of my clips are going to be in the show notes at the end of the show, okay? So always go like and subscribe to their channels, Iyanla, everybody that I use. And if I don't have it in the show notes, you can email me. My link tree is in the show notes, and I can definitely reference you to the source, okay? All right, guys. So compassionate listening is also very important. So let's see what Oprah and the very talented and special monk has to say about acting.
You refer to, I can't remember which book, but you talk about deep listening also.
Deep listening is the kind of listening that can help relieve the suffering of the other person. You can call it compassionate listening. You listen with only one purpose, help him or her to empty his heart. And if you remember that you are helping him or her to suffer less, and then even if he say things full of wrong perceptions, full of bitterness, you are still capable to continue to listen with compassion. Because you know that listening like that, with compassion, you give him or her a chance to suffer less. If you want to help him or her to correct his perception, and then you wait for another time, but for this, the time being, you just listen with compassion and help him or her to suffer less. And 1 hour like that can bring transformation and healing.
So I love this idea of deep listening, because oftentimes when someone comes to you and they want to really vent, they want to purge whatever is going on inside them, people start talking and giving advice. So if you allow the person just to let whatever those feelings are to come out, and then at another time come back to them with your advice or your comments, you would experience a deeper healing. That's what you're saying.
Yes. The fear, the anger, and the despair is born on the ground of wrong perception. And we have wrong perceptions concerning ourselves and the other person. And that is the foundation for conflict and war and violence.
You said that the only way we can begin to end war is due to communication between people.
Yes. And we should be able to say like this, dear friends, dear people, I know that you suffer a lot. I have not understood enough of your difficulties and suffering. It's not our intention to make you suffer more. It is the opposite. So please tell us about your suffering, your difficulties. I'm eager to learn to understand. It has to start like that, knowing this. And if you are honest, if you are true, they will open their heart and tell us. And then it up is compassionate, deep listening. And during the process of deep listening, we can learn so much about our own perception and their perception. And that is the best way, the only way to remove terrorism.
Terrorism or even difficulties between yourself and
yes.
family members or friends.
Yes.
And the principle is the same no matter the conflict.
Yes.
Terrorists, anti-terrorists,
yes.
father and son.
Right.
Yourself and your boss.
Right.
Yourself and your children, your best friend.
Yes.
Powerful. I love it. So, yes, compassionate listening, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, just kind of opening the door and revisiting and having a conversation when it comes to effective, active, and compassionate listening. And at a root, guys, communication, having a hard conversation, guys. So let me... Let me pull a card for this conversation. All right, so what is it within this conversation that comes out? You know, we put off hard conversations and we put off hard conversations, and sometimes, you know what I mean, some people, I know, some people may regret, you know, because what if one passes away or something, and you're not able to have that conversation with them. Now, there are ways, okay, that you can have that conversation with them on the other side, but you have to be highly spiritually inclined and kind of, you know, mediumship and things like that. I mean, there are ways, but most people do not know. Oh, okay. Do not know actively, you know, when it comes to those ways. So, you know, you can definitely get in contact with the mediumship. But, guys, this work is very, you know, it can be it's not easy at first. You know what I'm saying? It only seems to be difficult at first, but when you what we practice is what we get good at. You know what I'm saying? So if we even want to visit these things and start to practice, you know, doing things differently. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know how to, admit that you don't know how to. You know, admission is the first step. And wanting, you know, having a deep urge, a willingness, there we go, a willingness to want to do better and be better internally. I'm sorry, y'all. I make incense, and I made it too strong this time. But having the willingness, right? So the cards that I pulled, the first card was patience, right? Not rushing, remaining calm, being passive, tolerant, not stressing, discipline, self-control, wanting, suffering without complaint, waiting, suffering without complaint, being able to withstand. So, you know, just overall, guys, patience. How's our patience, right? Gauging and measuring our patience. Innocence. This is about purifying. This is about new beginnings, no sins. No, you know, just the renewal, the innocence of the renewal within your being, right? So in with all of that comes mastery, okay? So mastery is about, you know, being good at communication, being good at being a bigger person, a better person internally, guys, internally, okay? Because we have this whole imagery of what, you know, a good person and a bad person is supposed to be, but internally, you know what I'm saying, are we wanting to be better at communicating? You know, are we wanting to be better in our relationships? Are we wanting to be better just period? You know what I'm saying? So patience, innocence, and mastery are the three cards that I pull. I do readings in the background, so if you want to contact me to book a session, you're definitely welcome to do that. Look, you can see all my services that I do offer there, utilizing my link tree. But, yes, please join me tomorrow, guys, because tomorrow is going to be more intense and more in-depth. Tomorrow's podcast is entitled Respect for the Elders, the Honest Exchange. All right? So join me tomorrow on Spiritual Soul Sunday for that podcast, guys. And I hope you enjoyed that, guys. If you need to contact me, any show ideas, any guests, you know, you want to come on, talk, you know, you can. I'm definitely opening that back up, guys. You can email me, enhancingawarenessradio@gmail.com, or utilize my link tree, guys, for that. All right, guys. Till next time. Peace.
attention. I may just do what I say, let's talk more action. Hit your ass in perfect alignment, I ain't a stand to assignment. I may just do what I say, positivity flowing like wind. And the vibration goes deeper within, voice fire like the chi and a G. I may just do what I say, let the spirit channel throughout me. My life force radiating, so aura glow like beam. Improving my life, I'm where resources reside. My chakras balanced, I'm alive. My mind, body, spirit aligned. Energy cleared and purified. I release what is no longer mine, including expired supplies. Expanding outside of the box. I am improving my life, I'm where resources reside. My chakras balanced, I'm alive. My mind, body, spirit aligned. Energy cleared and purified. I release what is no longer mine, expanding outside of the box.